here's why there's nothing bigger than him, and why we put our trust, hope, and faith in him. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is here today, who was from eternity past, and who is to come for eternity future, the Almighty. Not a Almighty, the Almighty. The Lord made this statement in the book of Revelation. John saw him standing in the midst of the churches represented by the candlesticks. Standing there, he makes this great proclamation that I'm going to attempt to preach. I am Alpha and Omega. He's still standing in the midst of his church. He's still proclaiming and manifesting this powerful truth. And it still holds all the meaning and the power and the intention that it held when he first said, I am Alpha and Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Would you praise that great God another time, Lord? We have been giving you praise. And we give you praise again for who you are and that you are still in our midst. We're very thankful for that. You are the great I Am. You are Alpha and you are Omega. And we thank you for it, Jesus. And we praise you that you are the Almighty. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And you may be seated. The title phrase, I Am, is full of meaning and intent. It was used by Moses, or to Moses by God, when he said, who, should I say, sent me, as he got ready to go before Pharaoh. And God said, you tell him, I am that I am, sent you. That phrase in the original language has the intention and the meaning of, this is the potential of what will happen and what is going to occur. In that case, God was getting ready to deliver Israel from Egyptian bondage. So when he said, you tell him I am, he was saying, I am about to deliver you, Israel. And I am about to deliver Israel, Pharaoh, out of your hands. So the I Am phrase is not just some different title or something that God just came up with because there was nothing else to use. He has great intention in that phrase. It also means God is forever. He is eternal. He has been, he is, and he will be. So in other words, you could simply say, when you use that phrase or that title of Jesus Christ, the I Am, he is timeless. He is unchanging. And aren't you glad for that? There's not one God with one kind of power in the Bible. And then we have to settle for something lesser in the hour that we live in the New Testament church in 2019 on this date of the 11th of August. He is still the Almighty. He is changeless, unchanging. And, you know, there's no need for God. You know, things wear out. Equipment wears out. Our bodies wear out. Cars wear out. But God doesn't wear out. And so there's no need for God to return to what he was, to regain any lost power. He has the same power he had when he opened that Red Sea for Israel. And if you're facing something today, this is a word for you. God has a way through that dilemma that looks like it would drown you. But God has a way. We don't have to look forward to or wait for him to become something to meet our needs. Now, what we do look forward to is how this changeless power is going to continue to help us. But we're not waiting and saying, oh, when God gets that strong, when God gets that able, then he'll take care of this situation. We're not waiting for that today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Now, God used that phrase, Alpha and Omega. Alpha representing the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega being the last letter of the alphabet. Ours in the English is A and Z. When Jesus said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, he was saying to all of us, I'm the beginning and I'm the end. Isaiah wrote the words of the Lord, who hath wrought and done it, calling to generations from the beginning. I, the Lord, the first, or I was with or there at the first, and I will be with or I will be there at the last. One translation says that last phrase this way, I'm first on the scene, and I'll be the last to leave. Anytime you need him, he's already there. We should call him, and he says we should call him, but he wants us to do that so that we can express our faith in him, but he's always the first on the scene. And God won't ever leave you. He said, I'm going to be the last on the scene and the last to leave you. When you say Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, is Alpha and Omega, essentially you are saying if human existence were a movie and we watched the credits, God would be listed as the creator, the writer, the producer, the director, and the star. He's everything. He's Alpha and Omega. As the author, he has the ultimate authority. Now, that's important today because he has the ultimate authority of whatever you're going through. When he says, I'm the first and the last, that those first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, he's essentially saying, I'm the whole story. For us in the English language, what letter can you write? What book can an author write and not use letters? We talk by using words that are made up of letters. When he says, I'm A to Z or Alpha to Omega, he's saying, I'm the whole story. I'm the God of creation. I'm the God of the Old Testament. I'm the God Isaiah wrote about. I'm the God of the New Testament. I've been here in the beginning. I'll be with you now, and I will be here forevermore. In our text, Revelation 1:8, at the conclusion of history, he is still saying, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega, who is, was, and who is to come. Everything begins with God. Talking to someone this week, and they were talking about good principles of life and good principles of the particular subject that we were discussing, and we just concluded in that discussion, you know, whether it's a business book or whether it's a medical book, if there is any good principle in that, you will find its roots in the Word of God. He's the whole story. He is the A, and he is the Z, and by saying those things, he's saying, I'm everything in between. He is the A. He's the author. He's the advocate. He is the Alpha. He is the Almighty. He's the bread. He's the captain. He's the deliverer. He's Emmanuel. He's the first. He's the good shepherd, the great shepherd. He's the high priest. He's the holy one. He's the hope. He's the I am. He's the judge. He's the king. He's the lamb. He's the master. He's the Messiah. He's the Nazarene. He's omnipotent. He's the quickening spirit. He's redeemer. He's savior. He's the vine. He's the unspeakable gift. He's the wonderful. He's the word. He's the exalted. He's your salvation. He's the zenith of all names. Woo! And his name is Jesus. Oh, I love that name. I praise the God of that name. You know, and we can't understand the width, the height, or the breadth of his time span. You've probably tried to do this at certain times, but it is hard to wrap your brain around somebody that never began. We're liable to blow a fuse trying to figure that out. Never, didn't have a start. Everything we know about started somewhere. No beginning. Never began. The psalmist said, before the mountains were brought forth, are you ever formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting? You're God. Before our planet Earth became Earth, it did not resemble Earth at all. But God was already God. Before Genesis 1, he was already God. When it was formless and empty, he was already God. When the stars and science and scientists that debate and demonstrate how they cannot grasp a God that creates, God was already God. God is the Alpha, and he is also the Omega. Now, just the same way it's hard to grasp, there's no start to him. It may not be quite as hard, but it's extremely unusual that somebody can never stop living, never stop being, never stop existing. But this is the God that we are worshiping today. God is the before God, he's the now God, and he's the forever, ever, forever, always, everlasting God. He never ends. He's been God all along and is going to continue to remain God all along into the future. Everything begins with God, and somehow everything is going to wind up and end up with God. Now, I want to just throw this in because it's a blessing to believers such as you and I today. Not only does he live on, but because he lives on, we have the opportunity to live on. And when I came to this part of the study, I just kind of stopped. I had a little service out on the back deck. I thought about that song that says, it's a sweet and glorious thought that comes to me. I'll live on. Yes, I'll live on. Jesus saved my soul. Saved it from death, and now I'm free. I'll live on, I'll live on. If I was better, I'd sing it. Oh, I'll live on, yes, I'll live on. Through eternity, I'll live on, I'll live on, I'll live on. Through, and we used to hold this word out right here, through eternity. And old Russ Stackard hold that note and make all of us hold it. And then we'd come back. I'll live on. I'll live on. Yes, I'll live on. Through eternity, I'll live on. Oh, I'll live on. Yes, I'll live on. Through eternity. I live on. It's really going to happen, folks. He doesn't end, and our eternal salvation will never end. He lives on. We get to live on. This world's not the end of it, folks. There's a hope meeting in this church. There's a hope you can have of the coming of the Lord. Woo! I said, go ahead and thank Him for the hope. God wants to give us a reminder of His coming and the hope and the heaven. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God! Woo! You couldn't hold that eternity long enough. You couldn't hold that note long enough. As long as heaven is going to last. As long as peace. No more suffering. You see, all we're used to down here is there's some challenge and there's some trouble. And there's times like we're in today where it pushes back to the edges of our life. When we walk out the doors or go in to meet this week, we'll face it again. But we get just a little respite here. But there's a day when there will be a forever respite. Thank God. And not only is He going to live with us and forever in eternity, but eternity is not the only part of the story. He's with us every day, every hour, every moment here. He's A to Z here. Like A to Z covers the alphabet, the great I am, our A to Z, the Alpha Omega, covers our entire lifetime. Now just hear me. And I pray if anybody's had a doubt about this, that you would just let it be affirmed today. He knew you before you were formed in your mama's womb. He covers it from A to Z. He watched you as you were being formed there. He has been present. Think about this. Every moment of your life, your infancy, your childhood, your teen life, your young adult life, your midlife years, your senior years, the entirety of your life, God has covered, and He's been there. Now, all of us would have to say we didn't necessarily always acknowledge that, and there were many moments and hours and maybe days and maybe even weeks when we did not think about that, but Jesus Christ has covered every year of your life. He's covered every month, every week, every day, every hour, every minute, and every second He has been there. Every step, and this is not only to reflect, but I feel the direction of the Holy Ghost. This will be the same after this service today. Every minute, every second, every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year that is in our future, He will be there. Every step, every encounter, every life experience that you have, He will be there. Here's what we base our trust in. The great I am gave a great I will promise. He said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And in Hebrews 13, the writer records Him saying, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I preach today in the face of a fiery furnace for somebody. This promise is yours. He said, I won't leave you in the furnace. I won't forsake you when there's loss. I won't forsake you when it feels like everything's falling out from underneath your existence. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you because He's the Alpha and the Omega and His presence covers it all. Psalm 41 says, fear not. fear thou not. Somebody take those three words. Fear thou not. For I am with you. And the psalmist said in another place in 37, the Lord forsakes not his saints. They are preserved forever. The Lord doesn't forsake us. The Lord doesn't leave us. That eternal presence is a presence that is abiding now. I like this one that he spoke to Jacob in Genesis 28 and 15. For I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you of. That's for somebody today. I will not forsake you. I will not leave you. Whatever I have said to you, whatever he has spoken in your prayer time, whatever he has spoken while you were worshiping him, whatever he has spoken as you were reading his word, he said, I'm not going to say, oh, I turn my back on that and say, I really didn't mean that, or I meant that for somebody else. God never makes a mistake. He never. And if he spoke it to you, he said, I'm not leaving. It's not done yet. I know I preach to situations that aren't accomplished yet, but you just take a hold of that. He said, I will not leave you. And this was to Jacob when he was running from Esau, and it didn't look like there was any great future for Jacob the supplanter. But he said, I promise you something, boy, and I'm going to bring it to pass. I won't leave until I have done it. Be strong. Be of good courage. Fear not. Neither be afraid. That's Deuteronomy 31 and 6. Thank you, Brother Jason. This is for somebody here. Be strong, be of good courage, fear not. Do not be afraid of them. Whoever them is, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he it is that does go with you. And he's not just starting with you. He's not just going halfway with you. He will not fail you, and he will not forsake you. I wonder if somebody got a testimony today that says, he started with me, but he didn't stop there. He went midway with me, but he didn't stop there. He's still, that's it. Praise him, somebody. Praise him, somebody. Praise him. Woo. Really, hear me, folks. He is the only constant. Because a very good employment situation that persons have held on to for years and been very faithful in that, sometimes they find that going away. But the Lord is our only constant. There are many things. Many friends will be consistent and loyal. The church should stand behind and be consistent and loyal to this world, to believers and unbelievers alike. But I must tell you, the only constant, when everything else folds up and falls away, he's the only constant within our lives and beyond our lives. Here's a comforting thought. The one supervising when the world started is still going to be the superintendent when everything is consummated. He was in charge at the beginning, and God said, and he's going to be the one that's in charge in those final hours of this age. Whatever is going on in your life today, here's something you can cling to. The one who is the Alpha and Omega controls the outcome of the world as well as the details of your life. He knows where your story is headed. He knows where his story is headed. And nothing can, hear me somebody, nothing can alter his good intentions or his perfect will. The devil can't do it. People can't do it. The only one that could mess that up is any one of us. But if we're willing to follow and obey and trust the Alpha and the Omega, his plans and his intentions are going to be brought to pass. We can trust, and we should thank him for his abiding presence. I just want to throw this in. The Alpha and Omega isn't bothered by the past. Neither is he worried about the future. Now, I'm not trying to make us feel guilty, because we all fall into those traps sometimes. We get bothered by our past and we get worried about our future. But what we need to run to and cling to is our constant. There's somebody that is not bothered by our past history. That doesn't bother God, and he is not worried about the future. He's going to be with you. Our answer is just trusting the one and his abiding presence. Not only is this God timeless, but his power is limitless. Matthew 28, it's recorded where Jesus said, "All power." What is left out in that phrase, "all power"? All is all. There's nothing outside. He's powerful from A to Z. Nothing happens without his permission or without his authorization. Nothing, hear me somebody, nothing can thwart his eternal plan to restore all things to perfection and to bring us unto him changed and blessed and into that eternity. Nothing happens outside the purview of God's sovereignty and power. I do not care what it is. I don't care how evil it is. Nothing happens outside. He gave the devil permission when it came to Job. We wonder how bad things happen. All I know is they didn't come from God, but he can allow them. Somebody likened it this way. God has Satan on a leash. I see this big old dog, a mean dog, an angry dog, a dog that bites. I see him hooked to a chain with one of those chain collars around his neck, and the other end is anchored or hooked to a steel pole. Not a skinny steel pole, but a thick steel pole that's in the ground and got concrete to ground it. But it's on a leash, and it can only go so far. The enemy can only go so far. Satan, the blood of Jesus, is against you. So as long as we stay outside of his perimeter, he is limited. Now, if you choose to walk inside that chain's length, you're on your own, baby. That's why he gives us his word. He says, here's where I want you to walk. Here's the boundaries. Boundaries aren't bad things. Walls aren't bad things. Those aren't wrong things or bad things. They're good things. They're not to keep us in. They're to keep the enemy out. And so as long as I stay outside of the chain link of that perimeter, I'm okay. Nothing happens. This God that we serve has all power. And if he has authorized and okayed the enemy to do what he did to Job or something similar in your life, I don't think you have. I just want to encourage you, don't give up on God. Keep coming to the house of God. Keep serving God. Keep reading the scripture. Keep saying, I've got faith. I've got that trust. I've got that hope in God. He has all power. Power to save from sin. There is not a sin represented in this room, but God will not forgive it. You can repent today, and heaven will rejoice, and we will too. If there's anything that you need to repent of, I encourage you, there's forgiveness ready. He can save from sins from A to Z. Addiction, adultery, abortion, bad habits, bitterness, backbiting, cursing, disobedience, murder, wickedness, xenophobia, racism. He can deliver from all of it. From A to Z. He is the forgiver of all sin. And all of those sins in between, whatever it is, whatever we may have done, aren't you glad God has forgiven? I think that deserves a double hand lift. I am so thankful. Woo! Aren't we blessed that God forgave us? He's not up there marking our sins. They were erased and washed away. When you get water baptized after you've repented, it's for the washing away of your sins by the forgiving power of God, and He will fill you with the Holy Ghost. And if you need His Spirit today, I encourage you, find your fulfillment. You will find truest fulfillment in an experience, encounter, and relationship with Jesus Christ. You could go down the alphabet, and there are many great blessings and great things in this life that will bless you, but there's nothing like the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God, and you can give it today. And not only can He save from every sin, He can save anybody from A to Z. If you're praying for an errand, that's as close to the beginning of the alphabet you can get, double A. If you're praying for an errand to get saved, here's proof that God saves, double A. And there's another one back there somewhere. We got them from front to back. I love to hear you tell that experience of when you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Brother Aaron, out there at the Flow Valley Church. And he describes it like it was just a great ball of light or fire, light coming down upon him as the baptism of the Holy Ghost covered his life and filled his life. If you're praying for a Braley, if you're praying for a Charles, if you're praying for a David, I'm glad somebody prayed for an Everett. Hallelujah. If you're praying for a Fred, praise God. If you're praying for an Xavier, praise God. If you're praying for a Zoe or a Zyler, from A, it doesn't matter who you are. I'm having a little fun right here, but it's the truth. It doesn't matter who. Come on, somebody. Come on, church, believe with me. God can save your family member. He can save your loved one. He loves them. There's nobody outside of the stretch of the arm of God. He can do it. And that power not only saves, but that power heals. He said it. I am the Lord, Jehovah Rapha, that heals all of your diseases. He can heal ALS, Lou Gehrig's. He can heal from AIDS. He can. He can forgive and He can heal. He can heal blood pressure. And I feel the power of the Lord here. The healing power is in this room. In fact, when I got to this point the other morning, I had another little service. The power and the presence of healing came. Whew, and it's here right now. Here right now. He can heal liver disease. He can heal meningitis. We're in the middle of the alphabet right now. He can heal the kidney disease of nephritis. He can heal yellow fever. He can heal from the Zika virus, which is very, very serious. And every disease that could be mentioned, your sickness and the sickness that's in your loved one that you are praying for is not outside of the purview and the reach of God. God wants to do this. There were hundreds healed a couple of weeks ago down at North American Youth Congress. That same God has healed many people already today. He healed people yesterday. He's going to be healing them tomorrow. He can heal right now and today whatever He chooses. He said, I'm the God that heals. I'm so glad. All diseases. We tend to, I left out the big C. And I remember getting called from my wife. Was here at the office, and she had got the call from the doctor and got that report of cancer in her body. I'm going to tell you, I've said this many times, the C word will rock your world, and many of you know what I'm talking about. So went home, put the doctor on the speakerphone in the kitchen. I can remember right where we were sitting, babe, and heard him describe the potentials and different things. Stand up just a minute, baby. But here she is today, healed, strengthened. God gave her a word. Hallelujah. And she can give it better than I can give it today. But our God is a helper, and He is a healer. Cancer, we could rewrite that song we were singing a while ago. Fear's not bigger. Cancer is not bigger. Now, my mama died of cancer, bone cancer, and other types of cancer in her body. But that's not the end of the story. Cancer didn't win the last battle. The final victory is death is swallowed up in His victory. That's the Omega for most of us, but God's the Omega, and He's right there. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Heaven, the presence of God, endless worship, and the streets of gold are the victory and going to be the Omega of our experience. I'm going to tell you, He's able. God wants to heal folks. There's a precious man in here, and I'm trying not to embarrass him. But I'm going to tell you, Rick, when I was out there, got to this point in the message development, your name came to me so strong. He went to the doctor and got an unexpected report concerning a very serious liver condition. But God is the healer. And L's kind of right in the middle. Just a little beyond the middle of the alphabet. But God's there. Whether it's ALS or whether it's back there with yellow fever or Zika virus, but He's right in the middle, and He is a healer. And these folks believe that, and I just feel to tell you, we believe it with you, Rick and Ramonda. Our God is a healer. I want some folks to just gather with them right now. Just turn around, stretch your hand toward them. I want us to pray, oh Lord. I rebuke every bit of fear right now in the name of the Lord. They would not be human if they didn't experience questions and fear. You understand that better than we understand it. But you are there. You are there. Our courage is not the absence of fear, but it's trusting you in the middle of the fear. Hallelujah. We overcome by the power and by the word that you have given and by the word of our testimony. And somebody claim the blood right now. Somebody claim by His stripes. We are healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Here's the way we feel about this. And you excuse my vernacular here, but I'm just going to make it as plain as I can. What's the sense of preaching this stuff if we don't believe this stuff? Not only believe it, but we got to do more than believe it. We got to obey it and live it out and practice it out. They shall lay hands on the sick. Who did He say? Pastors do that? No. Ministers do that? No. He said believers. 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 Oh, it's in here right now and you feel it. It's in here right now. Believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Why? He's a God that heals all A to C. If you need a healing in your body, would you just lift a hand right now? Would you just lift a hand? And I'm asking believers, you may have your hand lifted, But just let your faith go to somebody else. Somebody will cover you. I want you to just move to somebody or reach over to somebody. When there's a healing that's needed, I want us to practice what the scripture says. Let's let him be Alpha. Let's let him be Omega. Yes. Go ahead and move right now in the Holy Ghost and pray. That's it. Claim the scripture. Claim the name of the Lord. God, you know every sickness. You know every ailment. You know every cell. You know every muscle. You know every bone. You created everyone. Yes. 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 And you promised they shall recover. We agree now, Lord. In your name, Jesus. In your name, Jesus. That's it. Go ahead and believe it, church. There's nothing too hard. There is nothing too hard for you, God. That's it, church. That's it, church. Let faith rise right now. Let faith rise. Woo. We put a standard of faith. We put a standard of your word. That's right. Hallelujah. 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 God, we believe for a great doctor's report. We believe for a change report. We believe, oh God, for the removal of tumors. We believe for the removal of cancer cells. Yes. Yes. Go ahead. Go ahead and pray it right now. In the name of the Lord. There's nothing too hard. There's nothing too hard. You see, this is real life, folks. We're not just preaching sermons, and you know this. And you're not just praying prayers or reading scriptures. This is real life. One of the reasons I pointed out Rick's circumstance. Brother Mike McGuire has been suffering for, 2 years now, huh? Almost 2 years. With lapses and losing memory. Sometimes not able to detect or know who his own wife is. And that's a precious man. And we don't understand it, but I know God's a healer, Brother Mike, and I know you. See that lifted hand right there? There'll be some folks maybe too bitter to even come to the house of God. Whew. But when he can't remember names, I'm going to tell you what he can do. He can see angels. He had a terrible spell last week in the middle of service. Lost all memory. Didn't know those around him. I talked to him a little bit after service, not realizing that. Talked to him. I felt like angels were here. Later in the week, when some of that had cleared away, he told his family. He said, there were about 30 and 35 angels on that platform. And then he said, there were about 50 angels over here in this. That's the ones he could see. This isn't an ordinary God. It's an A to Z God. Sometimes he uses an angel to come and minister to his saints. If you have any kind of a need, I want you to come to this front right now. Stand, the entire congregation, would you stand? And whatever you need, if you want salvation, if you want a healing, if you've got a situation, I didn't name circumstances and situations, but you know it would fit anything from A to Z. Whatever it is, he said, I am. This is what's about to happen, he says. This is timeless and is unchangeable. His promise, and that's it. Don't hesitate to bring it, if it's big or small. One old preacher said, we just got to start praying some God-sized prayers. Sometimes we pray human-sized prayers. We need to pray God-sized prayers. Whatever it is, go ahead and bring it to the Lord. And I'm going to ask other folks that are here, members and guests alike, If you've got faith, I want you just to gather in and mingle with these and pray along with these, because these are needs. And you have a faith, and God has the power, and we're going to agree together. We want this to happen, not for the sake of a service, but for the sake of these lives. And when God heals, and when God delivers, and when God works out the situation, He's going to get the glory. They're going to be better, and they're going to be able to better serve the Lord to a greater measure. You're able, God. That's it. That's it. Thank you, church. Thank you, guests. Thank you for responding. Thank you, faithful. Yes. Hallelujah.